This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PTB Wrestling Network, friends and family, welcome to your home for everything current, up-to-date, modern-day wrestling. It is Place to Be Nation's main event. I am Scott Criscolo. WrestleMania is in the rearview mirror. Never thought we'd actually say that. I felt like the build took 50 years to get to. The story took 50 years, and it took only 3 seconds to end it. And now we move ahead. But this is going to be a fun show tonight. Number one, because I've got a couple of gentlemen who either A, haven't been on main event either A in a while or B ever. So that'll be fun. And B, we're actually not going to do a ton of WWE tonight because with WrestleMania now having passed, now the other big promotions get center stage at least this coming weekend as the WWE prepares for the draft. And then Vive la France! Coming up on May 4th. So, all right. Now, to get things started, let me bring in my crew. Let me bring in my one of our usuals. He is always there to get inside my head, Jiminy Cricket style. But he is always my most reliable when it comes to getting me on the straight and narrow. Good evening, Steve Aloysius Willie. Even though you don't have yourself straight and narrow. Even though you're at least you keep me. That's good.
Yeah, I'm in the crooked and the opposite of narrow. Wide? I'm in the wide and crooked, baby.
You, sir, would start a rebellion and then build a dynasty.
I would start a rebellion and then I would just go home while the rebellion was taking place and let everything go to the house.
You would say, I'm not going to win this either double or nothing. Mm-hmm. All right. Enough of the cliches. Steve, always a pleasure. Our other two guests tonight, we got a foursome. We haven't had a four. We haven't had a core. We don't have the core four tonight, but we have a fearsome foursome of sorts. This gentleman is the purveyor of one of the other pods in the quad. He is the boss at the PTB Pop Experience. I get to borrow some of the talent there for a show here and there. But based on when I am recording this week, I actually can have him on. So good evening to you, Andy Atherton. How are you?
Well, good evening, Mr. Criscolo. Thank you for having me. Thank you for recording on a night that is not spent with my significant other for me. Great to be here talking wrestling. I haven't been doing a lot of wrestling pods. I do have my somewhat monthly show with Logan here on this very network where we look at current NXT, review the shows, and really looking forward to breaking down Stand and Deliver when we do record probably 2 weeks from tonight of this recording. But good to be here with you guys. Great to be back on a pod with Steve as well. And yeah. I don't think I've had the pleasure of being on with the fourth panelist tonight ever, so looking forward to talking with that gentleman as well.
Yes, I am as well. Mr. Atherton, it is good to have you. I wasn't going to record on my normal night and ask you to be on, and then you'd be sleeping in the car. So in any event, I wouldn't want to do that. Although you do have a Jimmy, so you have plenty of room. But anyway, it's good to have you on, Andy. And finally, this guy. See, I know some people will probably get on me for this comment, but this gentleman handles things on the other pod in the quad. He is one of the executive. I'm going to call him executive producer. I'm going to use fancy wording for him.
Who, an EVP?
He is the executive producer. Yes, over on the North-South Connection. He's always handling their pods because their talent's very high maintenance. But I am honored to have him on with me this evening. Good evening, Tim, not the Toolman Taylor. How are you?
I'm great, man. Russ never sleeps, and I don't either with the no-so. Those boys keep me busy, keep me wound like a like a Rolex watch, but we are still good to go, and I'm glad to be a part of my first main event and able to chop it up with the three of you. And thank you for again always letting me kiss the ring, Podfather.
Oh, you're the man, Tim. You will always be. You're always an. I always like trusting consiglieres. I can have them all around me. So. And for me, since we only do audio, you don't have to dress. You could wear whatever you'd like. And you don't have to worry about having to straighten the Funkos on the shelf.
I'm sure in my bunkhouse attire right now. I eat in it. I sleep in it. I go out. I get funky in it.
Yeah, because we're talking some hard times.
That's right, baby.
Yeah, baby. Speaking of hard times, of course, that is what that is the quote series that NWA is doing currently on CW. You'll hear that with me and the Doctor. This Sunday morning on the PTV Weekend Special. Quick programming note, by the way, a little housekeeping before we begin. I know usually, customarily here on the network, when there is a TNA show on a weekend, Dr. G and I don't do a weekend special because we usually do a reaction special for the show. We are doing a reaction special for the show, but unlike the TNA Plus months, since this is a pay-per-view, you actually have to pay out of your pocket for this one. That one's on Saturday, so we're still going to do a Sunday morning PTB weekend special because we will talk about this week's episode of Power as we discuss episode 2 of the Hard Times series, which happened in Dauphin. I actually know the T-shirt color that the beautiful Mrs. Smith was wearing at that show, and the camera was not reaching her. Which is a shame. So hopefully this week's episode, since she told me where she's sitting, where she was sitting, that the camera hits her. So anyway, we will do that, Dr. G and I, this weekend. And then next week, probably Tuesday, we'll give you a separate reaction special for TNA Rebellion. And then we'll have another reaction special within 2 weeks because TNA's next show is Under Siege. No, not either of those dreadful Steven Seagal movies. Although the first one actually wasn't bad. The second one is crap. But the next TNA Plus show, which will be Friday night, May 3rd in Albany, New York. Mr. Atherton and I know that neck of the woods. That will be, happening, in a couple weeks. So we got plenty of stuff to, talk about. So that'll be in the next couple weeks. All right. Couple things tonight. Let's talk about Mania as a whole. Let's get into that first. And just talk about it briefly. Because, again, we're already 2 weeks in the mirror as we're looking ahead now to Backlash in France coming up the same weekend as Under Siege, actually, the next day, Saturday, May 4th in, what is it? Paris-Lyon or Lisieux, wherever the hell it is. Anyway. The building that it looks in looks actually kind of cool. It's got like a cool shape to it. But anyway, Mr. Taylor, I'll start with you. Your thoughts, your overall thoughts on the weekend and then anything that stood out for you.
Man, WrestleMania 40 was, I think, overall pretty terrific. We got to see WWE change its form a little bit with WrestleMania. So if you go back to the beginning of the two-night spectacles post-pandemic. I'm not counting 36. There was one fan. But going 37 and beyond, it always seemed like night one was the show with all the killer. All the solid matches, very front-heavy on Saturdays. Sunday had your marquee stuff, but it just never quite lived up to the bar that got set in night one. That is the complete reverse for 40. Not saying that night one was god awful. There are people within our circles who are very down on WrestleMania Saturday for 40. But I thought it was good. I thought that it was a good table set. It has two beyond above average matches in the opener with Rhea and Becky, and then of course the Intercontinental title match with Gunther and Sami Zayn. But getting into night two, if you take away that Philadelphia street fight, that's hit after hit after hit after hit, and then you get to the main event. And WWE does spectacle better than anyone else. And that's what the main event of 40 was. I was in attendance for night two of Mania. And I'm glad I made that decision. I miss out on a full Rock entrance, but man, I don't know if I'll go back and watch the main event of night two again, watching back on the illustrious award-winning Peacock. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely going to be seared in my memory as both a proud member of the Cody Crybabies and also one of the front runners of the Roman Must Never Lose the Title fan club. Some say I could not lose. I thought I could not win. But all in all, it was a tremendous experience leaving on cloud nine from the link.
Mm. Mr. Atherton, what were your thoughts on the weekend?
I really, really enjoyed it. I'm a fan of the two-night format after sitting through what seems like an eternity at MetLife back in, 5 years ago?
2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Yep.
Yeah, 2019. Yep. Yeah, so I thought, you know, Tim had a lot of great points hit right on the head. This felt like it was a two-night show built like one night. How if you were to take night two and put on top of night one, like it was continuous, I think that's how it built to me. Like there were a few good matches on night one. Night two, we had so many great moments between, you know, the cash in and the whole build up to the, we knew it was going to be at least an hour plus of the main event. And that was a showcase of like why we're wrestling fans, because we buy into it. We loved it. We were expecting some things. We got a great surprise. You know, everybody thought the glass was going to shatter and all of a sudden the gong hits. And I think, you know, not being there live, I think I missed out a little bit because I would have like jumped out of my seat right away, because as much as I wanted to see Austin in that spot, having Taker there was, you know, there's not a lot of surprises these days in wrestling. They really don't keep secrets, or they leak things, or people spoil things. And I had no clue. And I think that was the highlight of the night for me, I guess. And it just going in, everybody's like, oh, I hope we get the end. And we did. We got that end game thing. It was like, all right, first Bloodline member comes out. All right, we get the foil. First, next Bloodline comes out, we get Cena, and then we get Rock, and then we get Cody in there alone getting his moment. It was just WWE is doing most things right now, and I really enjoy it. And Stand and Deliver was also a tremendous show, and they always come through. You know, it's a lot of wrestling in a short amount of time, and I did not feel like we were shortchanged at all. So very, very enjoyable weekend by WWE.
I'm torn on the two-night concept. I'll get to my thoughts in a minute, but I did not watch Stand and Deliver, but I did hear it was very good, and Dave's grades apparently reflected that. Mr. Willie, any thoughts?
Let's see. Joey Janela, I just started. Oh, wait.
Watched. The only way he'd be in the link is if he was selling dogs, okay?
Or seriously.
We're eating them.
WrestleMania weekend is so overwhelming to me. And, you know, we talk about it every year with our preview show. So it takes me a good month to watch everything. And when I hopped on this weekend to like, yes, all right, now I got the time. Oh, I don't have Peacock anymore. So I've seen it a bit here and there in terms of everything I've read and every single thing I've listened to. Like, I'm actually excited about Mania. Not that I'm shocked that I'm excited about Mania, but I'm shocked at how much there is that I want to watch. There's, especially with the two-night concept, there's been a lot of filler over the last couple of years, and I don't really see that. There's, you know, a bit on night one, but a lot of people that I've talked to, whether it be at work or with friends or on podcasts that I've listened to, it's been, hey, what was your favorite match? And I've heard about five different ones. From night one, I've heard the Becky Lynch Rhea match. I've heard the ladder match. Obviously the Sammy and Gunther match. Ironically, like the Roman at the tag match with Rock and Roman is usually like the third or fourth one that I heard, and that's just night one. So when I was going into night two, I'm like, there's no way that, you know, I'm going to hear as much of that. But I think with night two, the spectacle of Cody, and I would like to see how this turns out a little bit, because I was a little down. Like, Scott, you've known me for a long time, and I haven't been a big fan of Undertaker, like, wheeling himself out into matches. And I wanted people to be involved in that match who are somehow related to Cody, you know, in storyline. So I didn't necessarily like that, but I would like to see it play out on TV. Overall, people were just really praising that match. And then you go and look at the rest of the card and like, wait a second, this is highly rated too. This is, it's egg match after match after match, except for the Bobby Lashley tag with like the street fight, but no one really expected that to do anything. It was kind of a question why that was on there either. It just seems like it was a really good weekend for WWE. And I think what got me more excited about WWE than anything, and wanting to go back and watch a lot of this, was seeing Raw on Monday in Montreal, and seeing the way that they filmed I don't know if you guys saw this, the Jey Uso leaving after his match and mm-hmm. then running into Sami Zayn, and the way they filmed him coming into the arena. I was like, wow, our fuckface friend Kevin Dunn, Scott, yes. is gone. He's yep. really gone. Look at the way they're filming yep. this. This is so cool.
Yeah.
Just, yep. you know, I want to go back and see how they did that with Mania. I've watched so much wrestling over the last 2 weeks, and I'm not even close to catching up.
I know. Yeah, sometimes there's no doubt that those 5 days, whether you're there or whether you're home, are very overwhelming. I mean, you listen to, for those that listened to our preview 2 weeks ago, we read off how many cards? Like,
oh, yeah.
20?
Yeah.
A lot of them were like two matches or you know, whatever. But
I've watched three full ones, parts of two more. I just got another one, like the Dean show that I wanted to watch, which was the tribute show, which everyone raved about. I still haven't even watched Sakura Genesis yet for Japan. So, and that's what I've been watching all year. Right. And then I was at the Japan show in Chicago this past week. So, yeah, I watched about 7 shows in the last 2 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's a lot. I mean, there's only so much you could to digest. And if you want to hear about the GCW aspect of the weekend, the collective, if you will, head over to the other side of the quad, to the no-so, and Jenny nice. And Mr. Souza will give you a very, very fine rundown of the brunch, not the brunch, the what do you call it? What's Janela's thing? The spring break and all that
yeah.
other, the what's his face?
There's two. There's like the spring break and there's the clusterfuck.
What's the yeah, but what's the Hitchcock, the Mark Hitchcock? I think yeah. we talk about that.
There's so much.
So yeah, so yeah, I thought both nights were good. I thought the main event on Saturday night went way too long. I think they could have got that done in less than 45 minutes. That had that Bad Blood 04 Triple H Shawn in the Cell feel, where I felt like the middle 20 minutes was very stretchy. Obviously, Taker was replaced Stone Cold, as Andy said, because apparently they couldn't work out a money deal. But it made more sense for Stone Cold, because him and Rock were the faces of this show for like 6 years. So it would have made sense. I don't know what the money thing was. I mean, it's fucking Stone Cold, for Christ's sakes. I don't know. But anyway, couple of hot takes. This is very hard for me to say, because I love both people in one match and I love both in the other match. But of the two women's matches, I actually liked Io and Bayley a little more than I liked Rhea and Becky. And I love Rhea. I love Rhea and everything she's in, ever, in the history of ever. But I'm not, I kind of lost my vigor for Becky. And I don't know, that match I feel like had a gear left in it that it never hit. Whereas on the other hand, I feel like Io and Bayley really did hit the gear. So I feel like that was a scoosh better. Cody and Roman is all time in terms of just storytelling. And I just love the feeling that we are in a new era. Yes, my guy was pretty much mentioned like 8 zillion times. Even his wife came out. And that's fine. And it's the truth. They got to do it. That's a TK. I'm sure that was an Endeavor thing to do that like a billion times for Paul on the, in the Hall of Fame to mention him and show him on camera. And I'm sure that was totally, you know, I'm sure Triple H was probably a little embarrassed by it, but I'm sure it wasn't just a WWE thing. I think it was an Endeavor thing. So, having said that, again, to me, two nights is a year-by-year basis. Some years, it's probably necessary, but I guarantee you we're going to hit a year at some point where we're going to go, wow, there's 13 matches over 2 days, and probably 5 of them are kind of crap. It's going to happen at some point, but it's too late to do that now. Now, one news bit that came up, and we all saw it today, guys. One of the more glaring omissions of the weekend was the announcement of WrestleMania 41's site. The only real announcement, quote unquote, we got was that the King and Queen of the Ring is taking place in Saudi Arabia Memorial Day weekend. I'm sure now with Vince gone, they want to get that deal with us over with as fast as possible. I got some thoughts on the whole Saudi Arabia thing, but I don't want to get into that now. We'll talk about that in a future episode. But we did not get, you know, a big Minneapolis landscape shot, a lot of purple, you know, and, you know, Mania shirts with Vikings horns on it or whatever, and did not get that. Now we're finding out why. Apparently, the company is a little leery, and I'm going to go around the horn. I want your guys' thoughts on this. Company seems a little leery because, let's be honest, Philly was the first one, and I've been to both at MetLife, the two MetLifes at, in 29 and 35. We were very lucky with the weather. I wore shorts both those Sundays for the tailgates. We had a little rain. Fortunately, they were during the pre-show, but we did get a little rain on both those days. This last weekend or Mania weekend, we did tempt fate because it was, as anybody who watched on the cock, Michael Cole reminded us every like 11 minutes how cold it was on Saturday. Sunday, I think Sunday they survived. Sunday was fine. But I think they are, I think the company is definitely a little nervous that Minneapolis could still be pretty shitty the first week of April. One thing I've noticed about the Triple H / Nick Khan / Endeavor era is the traditions kind of go out the window. The traditions of has to be the first weekend in, or last weekend of March or first weekend in April. That's never always been the case. I mean, WrestleMania 20 was the second Sunday in March. So that's not always the case. But there's definitely a feeling that the city of Minneapolis, who apparently has the high bid right now, is truly making the company a little nervous. So we heard today from Nick Khan that City Alpha. Do you think Nick Khan puts the little earwicks in people's ears to, you know, tell them what? Never mind.
I think Tony Khan does.
Well, thank God Reese isn't here.
Do you think Tony Khan and Nick Khan secretly hang out?
Oh, I think they totally do.
And
Ricardo Montalban. I think they all do. And Benedict Cumberbatch. I think all the Khans hang out.
Which one's the Bizarro Khan?
Probably Cumberbatch is probably the Bizarro Khan. Anyway. It sounds like we're not going to get Mr. Atherton a Mania near us anytime soon. It sounds like they were very scared of Philly in terms of weather, even though they probably made a ton of money, and they made a ton of money on the two MetLifes. And but I think weather does scare them. And this is the first time I've ever heard this from the company. Nick Khan apparently is a little nervous about having to share the weekend with the Final Four. Now, in the past, it didn't matter because with one night, the Sunday was always the in-between. Yeah. Saturday, you watched the two national semis. Sunday was WrestleMania. Monday was the national championship. But now that you have two nights, now night one has to battle with the semifinals. Now, I don't think that will affect the live thing, but if you have a favorite team and listen, UConn was in the Final Four, and a lot of people this part of the country obviously might have gone to Phoenix to watch them, you know, exasperatingly blow out. I forgot who they played on Saturday, and then beat Purdue on Sunday. So now we might be looking at a rest. If Minneapolis is the city, I have a feeling they're trying to wait for another bid. Something tells me that Mania may end up being, say, the last weekend of April next year.
How about the week after? Yeah, like the weekend after the championship?
Maybe. It won't be the third weekend because April 20th is Easter next year. I always avoided that. You're not going to do that.
I watched the Final Four because, like, you know, my wife's interested in that and my friends are interested in that. And then, I mean, I watched the women's on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so by the time, I mean, that's not, I could have gone back to back with that and Mania, but I mean, it is a thing if you don't have anyone else around you interested in wrestling.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, do you think they're trying to avoid the Raw after Mania going up against the championship game? Because that's the biggest Raw of the year. So they don't, that could be also
yes
part
and
of
no.
the factor a little bit.
Well, that was never a problem in the past. I think night one of Mania is what worries them more. I don't think they care about Raw or the national championship. I don't think that's as big a deal.
Okay.
Because Raw, they have nothing to compete with on Raw anymore. This isn't like the Monday Night Wars. Because remember, during those years when they were competing against Nitro, the night after Raw wasn't as big a deal until probably 98 when Stone Cold started his run and X-Pac came out and all that kind of jazz. I think it's more the Saturday night. That's what I think the problem is. But anyway, Tim, what are your thoughts?
I think this might be a dated conversation. It seems like it's something that you would say when you lived in a house with one television and a cable box.
Right.
And you had to make a decision, right? We live in a world now where we have multi-screen experiences and we have the ability to, as a consumer at home, pretty much have the entire world at our fingertips.
Right.
Whether it be on our smart televisions or our computers or our cell phones, we have the ability to do it all. And it feels like a conversation that older generations have when they're worried about fighting over market share and cume and all these radio and media terms of just like, we need to have the eyeballs, we need to have the listenership or we need to have the viewership. Especially now with WWE being at one of their highest points ever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a big conversation now, but kind of partnering this conversation with the one you had about WrestleMania being two nights, there's going to get a point in time in which WWE is not the hot ticket. Mm-hmm. And if they are two nights and they're not the hot ticket, then I might be more concerned about your Final Fours. But right now, with the height, with WWE being at the height of its powers in a long time, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It feels like a nothing burger to me, but I'm also still relatively a young, like I'm slowly moving into my old man phase. But yeah, that's kind of where I feel. And then that also goes into the same conversation with venue selection, right? With the possibilities of Minneapolis, the infrastructure of the city is there. Even if it's a crap time, those roads are going to be clear as the snow falls, right?
They just had the women's Final Four there last year, the year before that, at the exact same time period. My family and I were up there for other stuff. It was totally fine.
Right. It's, what's the expression? Man plans and God laughs. It's the exact same thing, right? WWE needs to take into account, yes, location, 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 but also you don't want to put WrestleMania in a city, even though it is a big travel destination. You want to have a core excited fan base. And that's why the two Manias at MetLife were super successful. Right. Or WrestleMania 40, super successful. And if they're debating between, do we go to Minneapolis or do we go to, say, Vegas? Like, Mania will be fine in Minneapolis. They're going to put it in the dome. They're not going to have the inclement weather in Minneapolis. They will and all that stuff. But,
well, that's my point. Let me I don't want to go too deep in the weeds. We'll talk about this another time because we got the other stuff. But I do want to say Tim, you make a good point, though. I think the weather situation has nothing to do with the 2 days themselves. Obviously, U.S. Bank Stadium, where the Vikings play, has a roof. I don't think they're worried about the show itself. I think they're worried that no one's going to come to Minneapolis earlier in the week to enjoy access, because it's going to be fucking 29 degrees and flurrying. So you're going to get people that probably fly in Saturday afternoon, go to Mania, stay over, go to night two, and go home. And yeah, they'll make money on those 2 days, but stand and deliver may suffer. The few days, you know, that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday will suffer. No one will go to Raw Monday except the locals. And that means the indies will suffer. GCW will suffer. TNA will suffer. Janela will suffer because you're not going to get the crowds because no one's going to fly in on a Wednesday when it's 29 degrees and flurrying.
I mean, that weekend up here, like I was in Texas in spring break, but up in Wisconsin, it was close to 70 that weekend. So,
right now,
it's a crapshoot, too.
It is a crapshoot.
It was ass cold in Philadelphia. And, you know, by the time the evening came, and here we were, you know, people were wearing shorts and T-shirts. So,
yeah.
I believe the same temperature up here that it was in Texas. It was like a 3 or 4 degree difference.
I mean, Florida is warm, but they always have to worry. It rains all the time in Florida. I'm surprised. You know, didn't it rain a little bit the last one in Orlando? I'm trying to remember.
They had the ponchos.
Yeah.
The poncho incident. Yeah.
WrestleMania 36 when they were in Tampa. And that building was only a third full because of the vid. We had some of our PTBers. Were you at that one, Tim?
No, I was not at 37.
Okay. I know. So obviously some of the PTB was there. Anyway, it's just something
they're going to go where whomever pays them the most to go.
Yeah.
Because that's the gimmick now.
I think next year is the one that they're leery about. It sounds like it's almost a guarantee that WrestleMania 42 in 2026 will be in Vegas. They love Vegas. They fucking love Vegas.
Oh yeah.
And Vegas now I think is because I was there for SummerSlam in 2021, and it's a better city now for something like that than it probably used to be. Most people are like, oh my God, it's all spread out and everything. First of all, there's four arenas in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You have Orleans Arena, which is like the tiny arena that, you know, like good indie shows could be at. You have obviously Thompson Mack where UNLV plays. You've got T-Mobile where the Knights play. And of course you got Allegiant. And then at the end of the monorail on the strip is where the giant convention center is, where, of course, WrestleCon will be and stuff. So in terms of the infrastructure, Vegas actually is a lot better for a Mania weekend than it probably used to be. And then 2027, I think, is almost a guarantee that it's going to be in Nashville. because I think they want to do it at. They loved Nashville for SummerSlam 2 years ago. And by then, the Titans' new building will be up. And so they love Nashville. And I think that will be a great – that'll be a great city for Mania, in my opinion. It's just next year, I think. I think they want to – I think they'd like to keep Vegas and Nashville in those slots. It's next year that they're hoping a city will come out of nowhere. Honestly, for me, the I always call it like the backup city. I think Roger mentioned this, Roger Morissette. If they need a backup city, like, oh, crap, we need a city, I think they would go to New Orleans. I think New Orleans. Mm-hmm. New Orleans could always be their like backup city. And I am looking forward to when I finally can get to New Orleans, because I've never been there. Anyway, thank you guys. Great candor, great opinions, but we'll get more into the Mania thing as the year moves along. Obviously SummerSlam is easy because the weather's nice everywhere. Because somebody said to me, "Oh, Denver would be a great Mania city." I mean, the air's thin and thick, depending on your point of view. It's also going to be like 11 fucking degrees. So good luck with that.
But yeah, I mean, it will probably be sunny at least.
Yeah. It'll be like Santa Clara.
It won't be raining.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing is SummerSlam, you could really, if that's their thing now, I feel like SummerSlam will be the football stadium place if there's no, you know, preseason. And also, the Royal Rumble seems to be like the ballpark
mm-hmm.
place now. Of course, that's very limited. You're not going to do a fucking Royal Rumble at Yankee Stadium. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, rumor is not for this coming year, but the following years in Milwaukee at the I'll call it Miller Park. I'm not calling it whatever the hell it is now.
American Insurance, whatever the hell it is. County Stadium. No, but anyway,
Gruber Law. If you're Wisconsinite, you know what I'm talking about.
and I mean, I think there are some markets they would love to do a Mania app, but it's just not good. Like, I'm sure they'd love to do one in DC, but FedEx is a fucking dump, so they're not gonna put it there.
Well, they could do what they did with WrestleMania 24. I mean, you had the dilapidated Orange Bowl and WWE the Citrus Bowl, and they revitalized that entire arena so much so that they went back for 33. RFK is there. I mean, there's already talks of the Commanders moving from FedEx to back to RFK. So they've done it once before.
Honestly, they never should have left RFK, to be honest with you. It was one of the best home fields in the NFL. It was fucking stupid to get out of
as
there.
As a commando, I second that.
Yeah. I mean, as a Cowboy fan, it was always harrowing to go into RFK in November, December when the NFC East was on the line, believe me. FedEx has no aura about it. But in any event,
Hear me out.
Your city's fucked, Steve. There's never going to be anything in Chicago.
Oh, no. Until the Bears build a new stadium.
Right.
When the Bears build a new stadium, then it will happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're never going to – you can't – I mean, SummerSlam at Soldier Field?
Soldier Field sucks.
But see, if you're going to do a SummerSlam in Chicago, dude, it's got to be at Wrigley. It's got to be at Wrigley.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be amazing. Yeah.
You think WWE taking over Wrigleyville? Holy shit, that place would be awesome.
That'd be incredible.
It'd be awesome. I'm looking forward to going there in May. Anyway.
I think what they need to do, Oakland. Hear me out. Re-sign Miro. Have Miro drive out on the old WrestleMania tank. Two birds with one stone. You can really, you know, just start tackling the stadium down.
Tear down Oakland Alameda Coliseum.
Just tear it down. Like, save the city some money. Like, I know they tried.
Oh, damn. I love you, Steve.
They should just flood the Dome Stadium in the Northeast, for crying out loud. Why do we not have a Dome Stadium up here?
Unions.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Unions. Do you realize how expensive... It's so – come on, Andy. You've lived here your whole life like me. It's totally fucking crooked. Those Citi Field and Yankee Stadium would have cost $2 billion if they put, and we would never get to go to anything there. So that's why there's no domes in those two stadiums. That's why there's no dome at MetLife. Same thing.
That's so weird, though, because like Chicago's got the unions, and like when they make the next stadium will be a dome. It's going to be a retractable dome. Yeah,
there's unions everywhere. It's just these unions, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, somebody who's best friends in a union. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the problem. I mean, listen, you know where there could be one of the nicest stadiums in about 5 years, and you know they will not put a WrestleMania there, is Buffalo. Have you seen the layout for the Bills' new building? It's going to be gorgeous. But again, it's going to have a roof that will move because they want the home field in December when it's 3 degrees. You could put a SummerSlam up there. I don't know if you could put a Mania up there, but I mean, I don't know. Anyway, we could sit here and handicap cities like crazy. And I feel bad for our Ben Locks and our Callum McDougals and our guys. There's never going to be a WrestleMania in London. It's never going to happen. I hate to say
two
it.
Nights,
never
I gonna... believe it. Two nights, I think they could do it.
I just don't see, Tim, them cutting off the North American market to do that. There's only so many people that are going to travel over there, and I just don't think they have enough people there to make the money. I might be wrong, and for our UK fans, I hope I'm wrong. I just don't know if I just don't know.
There may be other international fans who aren't in the UK who would be more likely to travel from, say, like Asia to the UK than to make the trip to the US to catch WrestleMania Saturday at the O2. And then you'd still have those. You'd still have the crazies who would catch a red eye from London to wherever city it is to be at both nights. But WWE's got the manpower. They've got it. If there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, we'll see.
I would love to see it at least once.
I think more annoying, and I know if Reese was here, he'd kill me, more annoying than two nights of Mania. Because two nights of Mania is not annoying unless, you know, you have to budget yourself. Then it could be a little annoying. AEW doing two pay-per-views back-to-back is so stupid. You do All In, which is your big show. You've invaded Wembley. It's your spot. And then you've got to do a pay-per-view the following week. When you don't have a streaming service, you're making people pay $80.
Yeah.
Right? Is it 40 or 50 for a pay-per-view, Steve?
It's AEW. 50. They did some sort of deal, I remember.
That if so you now two, they do a deal discount. Where maybe they do 75 for both.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, and you got to do a la carte, by the way, great podcast. Love you, Keithy. $100 for a week? No.
Oh, yeah, that's too much.
Not happening. But anyway, we digress. Anyway, obviously their next pay. Now, this is the second straight year, guys, and I mentioned this on past shows, that WWE goes international between two of the big four. Last year, they went from Puerto Rico to Saudi to London before they went to Detroit. This year we've got France to Saudi Arabia to technically Toronto, even though that's not technically foreign. That's kind of, I might be blurring the line there.
Yeah, so you said Puerto Rico is foreign, and that's part of the United States.
That is true. But let's put it this way. It's not continental. Maybe that's the wrong word.
You need a passport to get to Canada.
It's not continental. It's not continental. And then, of course, August 3rd will be in Cleveland. So they're taking advantage of the international markets. And like I said, you and I talked about it on the past show, Steve, that it's a good thing for WWE. It makes Peacock more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all going to be watching it. I don't know. I don't know how many people actually in this part of the country watched Perth at the crack of dawn.
Like, I did.
The diehards like general. Like, did you? Did you really?
I did.
You're a knucklehead. I love you. Yes.
I believe it's called an addict.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You and Jennifer Smith, the only two that were up that early. but anyway, like Perth, I'm sure they made a ton of money. Can't do Mania there. I felt the other night when I was recording Through the Looking Glass, I had to break Dave Hall's heart. I'm like, Dave, it's never going to happen. Right. It's never going to happen. But anyway, I digress. All right. So But there is wrestling this weekend, folks, and it's not WWE related because they're on a breather. Like I said, their next show is in France. Backlash in 2 weeks. We're going to have probably the two big matches will be Damian Priest against Jey Uso. That's locked in stone. And then as of recording, we have not had Cody Rhodes' opponent yet. It'll either be LA Knight, yeah, or AJ Styles. I have a feeling it's going to be AJ because AJ's become like that mid-pay-per-view guy that doesn't have to win a match to put on five stars. And I'd like to see him and Cody. I don't know if they – maybe they wrestled on the indies. Steve, did they wrestle in Japan or anything? AJ and Cody?
I don't think they crossed paths. I think he was already in WWE by the time all that happened.
Yeah, because you figure Cody left.
Cody when left, did AJ come in?
January 6th. Oh, wait, no. No, you're right, because he came in the 2016 Rumble.
Yeah, that's what I thought, because 15 was his big year, AJ's.
Right,
big year in Japan, and
because Cody was still here. Cody was still in WWE at WrestleMania 32 because Stardust was in something. Mm-hmm. Cody didn't leave WWE till the middle of 16, so they were actually both in WWE together. So yeah, you're right; they've never met. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's year with AJ is one of the greatest.
I know,
like indie Japan runs of all time.
I agree 100%. So anyway, I think that's your double main event on May 4th in Lyon. So, but we have shows this weekend, gentlemen. We'll start with Saturday night. It is the one of the four shows during the year that you actually have to pay out of pocket in TNA. That's Hard to Kill, this show, Slammiversary, and Bound for Glory. Those four shows you have to pay out of pocket. It's $40. I think that's reasonable. And then of course the other eight shows are TNA Plus. So if you have that, that counts. So it's pretty much pay-per-view, two TNA Plus, pay-per-view, two TNA Plus, pay-per-view, two TNA. That's pretty much how it is. So so this Saturday night from, I almost said the Link. It's not the Link. It's the Palms in Vegas, which is where they were for the first pay-per-view of the year, Hard to Kill, when TNA relaunched, is Rebellion. So we have nine matches, two on the pre-show, seven on the main show. The two pre-shows, we have a six-man tag, Leon Slater and ABC, the former tag team champions, Ace Austin and Chris Bay, against the Rascals, Trey Miguel, Zach Wentz, and Myron Reed. That should just be a fun little match. And then the Knockouts World Tag Titles are on the line as the champions, Spitfire, Danny Luna, and Steve's favorite, Jody Threat, defend the title against Decay, Havoc, and Rosemary, and I love both of them. All right, main show. In a Full Metal Mayhem match, I have loved this feud, and I love both these guys, actually. Eric Young and Frankie Kazarian in a Full Metal Mayhem match, which I think is a cage with weapons. Is that what it is, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think it's a cage with weapons. It's like December to Dismember, except it won't suck. I like Eric Young here, even though I think Frankie K will win the TNA title at some point later this year as a heel. But I like Eric Young to win this match. What do you think, Tim?
I have Kazarian in this. It's really awesome to see two TNA originals in a match that is very synonymous with the origins of TNA.
Right.
So I'm just everybody loves a good plunder brawl. That's going to be it. I'm going with Kazarian.
Okay. Tim, Andy.
I haven't really been watching much of this, but I like both guys, but based on what you're all saying, I'm going to go with Eric Young.
Okay. Now, fudging pods, Andy, means you don't break the fourth wall, so you don't admit that you're not watching it.
Right. See, I did, but I will admit that I will watch it. Or will I?
What do you think, Steve?
That's will I actually watch it?
I know. Exactly. What do you think?
I kind of like the thought of like Frankie Kazarian having one last run, and I'm not a big fan of having that person lose. So yeah, I think Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah, you know what? You guys are winning me over. I think because Eric Young's one of those guys, it doesn't matter at this point. He's kind of bulletproof in the TNA world. So I agree with you. I think Frankie wins this match too.
He's TNA Triple H right now. He's doing the We Are TNA chants and. He's rah-rah in the crowd now that Scott D'Amore is gone.
Ugh. Yeah, totally. I agree.
I got a lot of ugh to say about TNA right now, and I like TNA. So I gotta watch my Yucks.
Yeah, well, I miss Scott D'Amore too. But they've kind of held their own. They've held their own. Joe Hendry will take on Rich Swann, who turned heel. He's with AJ Dalla. I actually like Rich Swann. I feel like it's gonna be a very heel heavy show. I like Rich Swann in this match, Andy. I think they need to fortify the heel turn instead of just being AJ Francis's bitch.
Well, conventional booking says fresh off of a turn usually means you're going to go over in the next match. So I'm going to agree with you with Rich Swann.
Yeah. Okay. Tim?
While I do believe in Joe Hendry.
God dang it. You took my dang joke.
That's what happens when you get another TNA watcher in the mix. Even though I believe in Joe Hendry and I absolutely never want to stand beside anything that Dollar King does whatsoever, I got to go with Rich Swann.
Steve?
Well, I guess we're going to go with Rich Swann all night long.
Steve's going to tell me after, would you vet these other guests, please, and tell them?
We got to just compare notes before.
You're telling me to vet his jokes. All right. Next up, two guys who I actually love in this company. Your TNA X Division champion, Mustafa Ali, who's been fantastic. I mean, they gave him the belt literally 2 weeks after he debuted. Against Jake Something, who's like the TNA equivalent of Rick Boogs, except a little higher up the card. He doesn't look like an X Division guy, though. I think he seems a little beefier than 225 pounds, but or 215, whatever
he's
it is.
Big dude. I've seen him on the indies.
Yeah, I feel like they're kind of towing the line here on cruiser weight, if you get my drift.
Well, No Limits was the way they always did it, right?
Yeah, that's true. What do you think? I think Mustafa keeps it because he's just too hot right now.
Yeah, he's really hot right now. He had a great match in Chicago this past weekend against Hiromu Takahashi. It was really fun. He almost murdered himself, which I wish he wouldn't do. He was trying to avoid a top rope superplex, so the dude did a backflip off the top rope and landed on the floor, like just the regular backflip, landed right on his feet. I'm like, you're gonna blow up both of your knees and my knees just watching it. It's like, just don't do that, Mustafa. But yeah, he's on such a hot roll right now, traveling everywhere, picking up belts. And Jake Something, as fun as he is, this is just a match for Ali to showcase him.
Yeah, I agree. Tim, what do you think?
TNA historically has loved their X Division stars to convert to world champions. And having Mustafa Ali be a part of this new TNA roster is just another person in that long, long lineage of great X Division superstars who break forward into the main event. Mm-hmm. Giving this to Jake Something undercuts Ali at literally his rise. I cannot go against Mustafa Ali in this match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Andy?
Mustafa Ali is like that guy that gets released into the wild from being under WWE and finally gets to really get out there and showcase. Yep. And TNA is,
I agree,
like, you know, striking while it's hot. And yeah, I think he's a guy that's going to do great things over there. So I agree. He's going to hold on to the belt here.
Mm, yeah, I think so too. Next up, the world tag team titles are on the line. Your champions, The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers. I know Steve is not in love with either of them. I like Eddie Edwards. I've always.
I used to love Eddie Edwards. Yeah,
I loved Eddie. And of course, Alicia Edwards is in their corner against easily one of my favorite tag teams. And that is Speedball Mountain, the team of Trent Seven and Speedball Mike Bailey, who I had never met before until I saw him 2 years ago at Mania weekend in Dallas when he and Alex Shelley tore up the hotel for Multiverse of Matches. As much as I want Speedball Mountain to win, I think they want to keep The System strong as a heel faction. Obviously, the face of the faction will be in the main event. We'll get to that match in a second. So, Andy, I'm going to go with The System here. As much as Speedball Mountain, again, love those guys. I think they want to keep the heel faction strong.
Yeah, I think you building around these guys, I agree with you. I'm going with The System.
Tim?
I can't go against the system either. As much as dynamic as Mike Bailey is, and as charismatic as Trent Seven is, I can't go against the hot hand right now. I love Brian Myers. Eddie Edwards doesn't have the same shine. We kind of all talked about it, but I think the money will be in the chase of one of those teams up in the six man, the pre-show. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be one of those two teams that have the chutzpah to go and dethrone the system.
Yeah. Okay. Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go along with the system, too, just because of heel tactics. Is Subculture still around?
I think so.
I hope so. I really like them, too.
I haven't seen anything from them in a while, but...
Maybe they haven't been on since...
Grizzled Young Veterans, are they going to still be around?
Hmm. They were never signed to TNA. I didn't realize they were still freelancers. Yeah.
Okay. Because they had a really good tag team division. Otherwise, with Myron Reed coming in with the rest, I'm just going down the list. I mean, Austin and Bay, I absolutely love. So it's like, hopefully those two teams are still around, because that's just a killer tag team division.
Well, mm-hmm. And obviously the Machine Guns are leaving. So
yeah.
That's a tough loss. So
big loss.
Yeah. I mean, they're on their final leg, to be frank. So they're just... getting another couple of years. But yeah, definitely a loss. I think the system will win. Something as I'm noticing as we're going down this card, recognizing that this is one we have to pay for, there's like not a lot of like, oh crap, this match is going to be incredible that I want to see on this match. This could easily be a just like regular TNA Plus show. But maybe I'm just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just selling it short.
I think the next match I'm about to give, I think, is where we're going to get a big upset. The Knockouts title is on the line. The champion, Jordynne Grace, taking on Steph DeLander with Matt Cardona at her side, who's going to be out for a while. I think we see an upset here, and I think Steph DeLander upsets Jordynne Grace and wins the Knockout title, Tim.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Broski. I'm not a fan of Steph DeLander at all. But it would be very interesting for Jordynne Grace to be in the chase, right? Having Steph DeLander take the Knockouts title, if even transitionally for a good month run or two before giving it back over to anyone in the Knockouts division. I think 51-49 split Steph DeLander.
Mm. Steve?
I hate to say this, but I think they need to kind of rebuild the Knockouts division right now. They've lost a lot over the last couple months, losing Perazzo, losing Naomi, Trinity, which are two of their biggest names. And I think that you should have Grace keep it until you can build that back up. And I just don't think that Steph DeLander is at that level of someone who could be a Knockouts champion at this point. Just more being in GCW than anything. Not really on any television shows. So, yeah, I'm thinking Grace. I'm just such a huge fan of her.
Mm-hmm. Andy, what do you think?
I'm listening to what you guys are saying, and I think Jordynne Grace has been at the top for so long. Maybe she does need to chase for a little bit. I mean, Steph DeLander, I remember her as Persia Parada at NXT. Didn't really do much over there. There are some ridiculous stuff with the Best Couple shit, but yeah, I could definitely see that with kind of just freshening things up, because it looks like, most of the so far what we've been talking about, most of the champs are going to retain. So, I mean, maybe having like one title change here. I mean, she doesn't have to hold it for long, like Steve said, or Tim, I forget who said, like, could be a transitional champion. But I mean, freshening it up, I mean, I think would be probably a good move on their part.
Mm. I think we need one, at least one title change, and I feel like this is the one belt that I think it could happen. Yeah. This is probably going to be the match of the night because these two are going to absolutely beat the shit out of each other, and I love both these guys so much. It is the third of their trinity, of their trilogy. They're one match apiece. One guy won at Hard to Kill. The other guy won at Sacrifice. Josh Alexander and Hammerstone in a last man standing match. I'm a little torn on who's going to win, believe it or not. I mean, obviously, you always usually tiebreaker goes to the babyface. But, I mean, I don't want heels winning all night. But I feel like Hammerstone is a guy that could also be TNA champion by the end of the year, too. I think just for the sake of giving the TNA fans something to cheer about, I'm going to go with Josh Alexander, Tim, but I would not be surprised if Hammerstone won.
Yeah, his mom named him Alexander Hammerstone. I'm going to call him Alexander Hammerstone, too. Josh Alexander does have a leg to stand on in the TNA World Championship picture. I mean, didn't he? He vacated that title. He never lost it, right? He's still on the comeback trail to get back to former glory. And if the system and Moose hold on to this TNA title, it's only fitting that it's Josh Alexander who's the one who dethrones that and takes the title if Nick Nemeth can't get the job done tonight. So, or that night. So I'm going to go Josh Alexander just to keep him strong and have to face as many foes as possible to get back his crown. Mm.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm thinking it's, you know, in a best of three, you're going to want the good guy to go over here with Alexander. Like Hammerstone, again, another newer person that I think could be built up and could be an easy contender for that championship down the line. They have some really new young, not young, because there's some old, new talent, if that makes sense. There's mm-hmm. there's a little turnover in the roster here that we're seeing.
Mm. Andy, what do you think?
I'm just going to go Josh Alexander based on, you know, what you guys have all been saying. Because, you know, like you were saying, it sounds very heel heavy for the night, so they got to throw a baby face here and there. And if they're going to send the crowd home not so happy after the main event, maybe the match before, give them some stuff to cheer about. So going Josh Alexander.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Hammerstone won, but I'm going to actually go with Josh Alexander too. And then in the main event, and this is probably the most telegraphed match climax of the night. Moose will defend the TNA World title against Nick Nemeth. And I think it's safe to say that Mr. Steve Macklin will cost Nick Nemeth this match and Hammerstone. And Moose retains, Andy.
Yep, I agree with you right there.
Mm. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're really setting up the heel faction. They want to do that. I think it's a little too early for Nick Nemeth. I have to say one thing about Nick Nemeth. He was against Ishii mm-hmm. on Saturday, and Ishii in America, like, people love him. Boy, it was kind of boring. And maybe it's just being stuck with Dolph for so long, and there's not, like, I know he's really trying to mix it up. It's just if you do pull the trigger on him this early, you're just doing it because it's a name,
mm-hmm.
which is what New Japan did with their global belt. They're just like, this is a name,
right?
So I just don't think it would be the right choice to put it on him at this time. I think there's a little juice from the Moose that you can still do.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, like, I think, Andy, you said, I wasn't sure which one of you said it before, but, like, Tim, I think you did, about Mustafa, you know, being the X Division champion. You could see him as someone who defeats Moose at, like, Bound for Glory, which is right around when the election is, which is fitting with his gimmick. So I just think it's too early for Nemeth, and I don't think it makes sense for TNA to just give it to the WWE guy.
Mm, I agree. So there's your... Did I miss anybody? No. Tim?
Nope.
Okay.
No, wait.
Yep. All right. So there we go. There is your AEW, your TNA Rebellion show. That's Saturday night. Now we go to Sunday night in St. Louis at the Chiafetz Arena. That is the home of the Billikens. And that is AEW Dynasty. We've got 10 matches, one on the pre-show, and 9 on the proper. And as usual, AEW has put on a pretty good pay-per-view. It's usually the shows in between lately that has kind of been the problem for them. But here we go. Bullet Club Gold, Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn against the acclaimed Anthony Bowens, Max Caster, and Billy Gunn. Winner takes all match for both the AEW Trios and the ROH six-man tag title. Steve, do they keep Bullet Club Gold strong? Do we get scissoring, the scissor joke? What do you think?
I think we keep Bullet Club Gold strong. This is a long time coming where they just need to just mold these belts into just one. Just mold it right into the AEW Trios. I really hope there's not like 6 belts that they're carrying around to the ring. It's kind of a useless title, the ROH version of it. But I think Acclaimed has had these belts for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Jay White is, Acclaimed, themselves, they were super hot early last year, end of 2022. That's kind of gone away. They're not as focused on as much. And Jay White's still really good. And they've been pretty clear that they want to keep building up Austin and Colton. I'm not the biggest fans of them, but they're good heels. So I would heavily lean on doing Bullet Club Gold here. One of 6 Bullet Clubs in the world.
Yes. Tim, what do you think?
Bang, bang, gang all day. I'm right with Steve and the need to kind of mush these titles into one. Mm-hmm. Tony Khan has had his hands full trying to determine what to do, how to do, why to do Ring of Honor, especially with like sacrificing a lot of his AEW television to put over Ring of Honor stuff. Hopefully with what we got at Supercard of Honor and then the path forward from there, I hope that Ring of Honor can get some stability while also kind of merging these titles into one set. But I think the big story that's going to come out of this match is Max Caster breaking away from the Acclaimed. Max Caster has really been kind of on edge, and tonight as we're recording on Dynamite, during their backstage segment for the promo, Max Caster spikes his Trios championship, like literally holds it in his hand and slams it face down on the ground. If you've ever telegraphed something happening, there it is.
Yep.
Pulling a Naito.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many damn titles in that company. I mean, I agree with the Gun Boys. Like, I don't love them, but as part of like a heel faction, I think they're good. Talk about an act that has cooled off so much in the last year or so. I mean, the Acclaimed were so over; they were my son's like favorite tag team for a while, and I just feel like I don't know. I mean, I'm still waiting for Billy to turn on them. Also, I think they kind of need to break away from him. I didn't see that part earlier tonight, so I don't know about the forecasting there. But I would think the Bullet Club goal takes this anyway. Mm-hmm. Whether something happens on the Acclaimed side, something leads to the loss here.
Okay, all right. That's on the pre-show. So all these matches, these are all on pay-per-view proper. There's 9 matches, and there's 37 champ title matches. feels like anyway.
That's all. Anyway,
well, one of them is kind of fake. I mean, let's be honest. And that's this one. The FTW championship is on the line. Hook defends against Chris Jericho.
No, so that must have been announced tonight. That's not surprising, but...
Yeah, well, they've been talking about it for... I mean, it's kind of been leading for a while.
I did see that. There was a segment earlier tonight that led to this, so...
Yeah. So not set in stone. It wasn't set in stone at the moment. It now is, but it's been leaning towards it. Chris Jericho winning this belt is fucking stupid. I think Chris Jericho winning anything right now is stupid, so... I'm going to go with, I think Hook retains, Tim.
I want you to tell Taz to his face after you get down on your knees and get eye to eye with him that the FTW title is fake. Love Taz, but I digress. You know, it's stupid that Chris Jericho would win the FTW championship against Hook on pay-per-view. And that's exactly why Chris Jericho is going to beat Hook for the FTW title in an FTW rules match.
Steve?
You know, I am actually leaning towards it a while since Hook already beat Jericho clean. About a month or so ago, Jericho just has this way lately of like, there'll be times where he'll do like these really amazing things, like let himself just get utterly destroyed by Powerhouse Hobbs and never get his win back. This like, but then he'll need to be involved with all of the hottest acts.
Right.
And like, it's okay to like step back. Like, it's just kind of like an ego thing with him. And I'm just going to go with my, like, the one thing about pay-per-views with AEW is that they generally favor the faces, and that there's like, you know, ends to stories. And so my hope is that Hook will win and move on to something else. But my great fear, like when you said that this match was happening, my first thought is, oh God, this is going to be something stupid where Jericho wins.
Right. Yeah. Andy, did I get your,
I like Hook. I don't love him. I think he's got potential. I don't think he's one of those, like, to be like, not that he's I'm not ready for primetime player, but I think he needed more time to get built up to how he's being, how much time he's getting on TV. He's got a Hook signal, for Christ's sakes, now. I mean, I could think about it two ways. Like, do you think Jericho referred to himself as a possible goat tonight? I was like, are you kidding me? But I mean, I would like to see Hook move on from this feud, but also I can definitely see Jericho asserting his Jericho-ness and taking the title from him. But I mean, my gut says Hook, but I would not be surprised if Jericho walks out with the belt.
Mm. It's like a month-long story, pretty much, and for just maybe 6 weeks. It's just been since the last pay-per-view, and it's at least, it's just, I just don't care about Jericho anymore.
Well, I feel really like don't. Well, I feel like, you know what it is with Jericho? I feel like when the promotion started, he was valuable to the franchise, to the promotion, to AEW. But now we've moved ahead almost 4 years, 5 years in. Now the roster is so loaded that we don't need him to carry anything.
No.
We have these two guys that I'm about to mention next. So our next match, this is not a title match, but neither of them need anything at the moment. And that is, of course, the dream match, although maybe they wrestled in Japan, Steve. And that is Wilfredo Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. This match is going to be obviously great. Not the great everyone thinks. I mean, Dave's already written the summation of this match before it even happened. It's already going to have 7.5 stars. I think it's going to be great. I think Will's going to win. But I have a feeling they're going to be like I thought Becky and Rhea was. I have a feeling they're going to try to hit a gear that they just won't be able to get to. Doesn't mean the match is going to be bad. And I think Will's going to win. But I feel like there's a fourth gear that'll make it amazing. And they're just not going to hit it. Because I just don't think Bryan Danielson can hit that gear anymore. But that's just me. What do you think, Tim?
I think that we're going to need to get a cleanup crew over to Uncle Dave's office to scoop off all the ectoplasm, quote unquote.
Oh, yeah, totally.
From the walls. 7.5 stars isn't going to be enough. I think this match is going to easily make short lists of match of the year. I disagree with you respectfully, Podfather. Danielson still got it. He, especially on big matches like this. Mm-hmm. I think him and Will Ospreay are going to absolutely turn it out. And I think Danielson picks up the victory here.
Oh, okay.
I think Danielson takes match one, and this rides out to be a trilogy that, depending on how long they can keep Will Ospreay away from the title, this could easily headline All in London. Mm. Non-title.
Mm. Okay. Steve?
I hope that's not the case, because I'm waiting for Danielson versus Nigel, because that was going to be last year. And
I wish.
Yeah, that's, I mean, Nigel's one of my favorite of all time. I think I disagree and agree with you, Scott. I think that Danielson is going to have to make himself go to that fourth gear to keep up with Ospreay. And if anyone can do it, it's him.
But
he's going to need to be, he's going to really have to step it up. Mm-hmm. Not that he's had any bad matches by any means.
No, and I haven't said that either. And please, I'm not saying. I just think
totally
that this isn't the miracle of Bourbon Street.
Yeah. I think that he's still capable. He's going to just have to really push himself. Mm-hmm. This sells the pay-per-view pretty much, this and the title match. I'm glad that they're doing it on pay-per-view and not just throwing it on a Dynamite to try to pop a rating. Ospreay has been, I mean, he's been damn near perfect for the last 2.5-3 years at this point. But since he's come in to AEW, it's just like he's even been interviewed with it. He's like, he doesn't get it. Like, it's like far exceeded what he thought it would be, with like Bruv getting over, and he wasn't even trying to get it over. He was just something he says. And and then when you get your Minring, like that match with Takeshita was unreal.
Right.
So, I'm not a big fan of the term dream matches when they just throw together the word dream matches. Right. This is a dream match. This is a legitimate dream match. I think I need to be the arbiter. I've just named myself the arbiter of dream matches. So whenever there's a dream match, you put up the Steve signal, you replace the hook bat signal, and you put up the Steve, and you say, hey, Steve, is this an actual dream match? And I will be yes or no. This is a yes.
Hmm. I hope I'm wrong. And I'm not saying, look, guys, I'm not saying this is going to be, you know, a fucking Big Show and Aki Bono. I mean, let's pump the brakes. I'm not
five
saying
stars.
That. I'm just, yeah, well, if that match was in the Tokyo Dome, it would definitely have been fun. No, I'm just saying that I wish this match took place 7 years ago.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And then the match would have been like 38 star. I hope Brian's body can catch up to Will's. That's all I'm saying.
Because he's had great matches with Zack Sabre, but you don't have to do, and Ospreay is not the flip fly guy that people think he is anymore. He hasn't been He hasn't been for quite a bit at this point. But like anyway, I could have a good match with Zack Sabre Jr. He'd stretch my leg and like stick it up my ass and out of my mouth. But you know, like it's a lot more like ground stuff, laying around, kicks and stuff like that. Whereas it's going to be more high intensity. And I do think Danielson can do it. It's just that he's going to have to do it.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Next, a match that has had just the most annoying build ever. And the vacant World Tag Team titles, because Sting retired and then Darby Allin was going to go climb the largest mountain in the world, and now he can't even get out of bed with his bad foot. The Young Bucks will take on FTR. I'm not getting into the tape. We're not talking about it. There's enough's enough with that. I just love FTR more. I feel like there's more legs if FTR has the belts. That's just me. But this is a toss-up match for me, Steve. I'm going to go with FTR, but it could go either way.
The Young Bucks are being so good at heels right now that you want to just choke them out.
Yes.
And
often. They're
I think they're going to win. I think Jack Perry is going to help them. Matt was wearing a scapegoat shirt when they did that stupid thing with the tape. I will say with being in Chicago and seeing that show, I had so much respect for Jack Perry. His stuff that he did in New Japan, and part of this is New Japan's booking, it's not him, it was awful. Because he's with this group called House of Torture. They're the absolute, like, go-away heat. That match in Chicago, like, you had your CM Punk chance at first, and he was getting booed, but he kind of leaned into it, and he really had the crowd eating out of his hands. Like, it's the best that I've ever seen him as a character. I couldn't believe how good it was. It was more, and he actually had turned a lot of fans in his favor by the end of it. And I think that he has the potential to work through this and be a really good heel. And maybe like a lone wolf type character where like he'll help the Young Bucks and eventually just go out on his own, you know, having no friends or whatever. But it makes sense that the Bucks will bring him back in because of the thing with Punk. I just want this stuff to go away.
I do too.
I'm so tired of it on both sides. Like Punk taking shots, you know, beforehand and then them falling for it like idiots. And then like it's just so much like over like taking shots at Ospreay. Like why? Like he didn't do anything.
And so I know. Ospreay,
like he made a financial decision for himself where he could still live at home. Like why are we doing all this? It's not the Monday Night Wars anymore. It's not fun. There are two different levels. Like WWE is so great right now. Do that. Don't spend Mania talking about other shit. Do that. AEW, you're an alternative. Do that. Who fucking cares about CM Punk? Let him live. Let him do his stuff. If he wants to be an asshole, let him be an asshole. Like, I do, like, if they're just like, okay. But I also think they didn't have to show the damn video to do the thing with Jack Perry.
No, totally. I totally agree.
They could have done it without it.
Yep.
So, that's all I have to say about the tape, like, type thing. I didn't want to, I had, you know, texted you ahead of time. Like, it's already a couple weeks old at this point, too.
Yeah.
Like, everything's been said about it. There's a lot of stupid takes about it. But I hope what comes out of this the most is that Jack Perry, you know, makes the best out of it.
Yeah, I agree. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know which match is going to follow the Brian Ospreay match. I kind of hope it's this one because they're really going to have to step up their game if they're going to follow that. I think the Bucks are going to take it with some kind of EVP chicanery in here. They're gonna throw their weight around. I do love FTR and I would like them to win here, but I don't like the Bucks at all. I've never liked the Bucks. I think they're leaning into this, so I think it's getting heat. It's getting definitely over, but yeah, I think I didn't know about the Jack Perry stuff, but I really, as far as he may be involved in this, I think that would be some really good booking on their end. So I'd have to give it to them, but the Bucks are going to take this one, I feel.
Yeah. The Bucks, if they are elite, if they are, I'm sorry to interrupt, but like if they are like uber heels, they're actually, I've seen them do it in PWG, where like that was like when PWG was at its hottest. And it's actually pretty good because they just went into like just absolute asshole like pricks that you like, that you think they actually are. Like you think they actually are this in real life anyway.
And then,
And so that's what I'm hoping for. If we're going to be seeing more of it, more of them together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just don't want to I just don't like this stuff anymore where they all the like the fake shoot stuff. I hate it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Tim?
Much like you didn't need to use the footage to do anything with Jack Perry, you didn't need the footage to put over or to add any sort of heat to this tag match. Young Bucks and FTR on any given pay-per-view day is a walking four-star match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't even have to lock up, and you already know it's going to be great. So going after the low-hanging fruit from the low-hanging fruit that was WrestleMania weekend, it feels to me very short-sighted. It, like, they felt the need they had to do that to add some sort of spice to this, even though FTR has been distancing themselves away from Phil from Chicago since he left. So in any event, the Young Bucks are going to absolutely take the tag titles here with their EVP-ness. It's going to be all there. The Elite will not foreshadowing for another match later, but you know, they look to make the Elite. They're the new version of the Elite completely golden. Once again, I just don't see FTR being, taking those titles in again, the money is always in the chase. So unfortunately I'm taking Nicholas and Matthew Jackson, the Young Bucks.
All right. Okay. I mean, I think the match will be a banger. At least I know that.
Right. But. Like they don't put on bad matches. That's the right. thing. It's like they just wake up and those two will put on a four-star match and it's right. a ladder match. So you're going to add another star and that's five. We're done. Like you don't need anything else.
Right. All right. Next up, we have a house rules match for the TBS championship. Julia Hart defends against Willow Nightingale. Now, a lot of people seem to think that Willow Nightingale is going to win here so that she can drop it to Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing. I don't agree. I think Julia Hart retains. I don't think we even see Mercedes Moné tonight on this. Well, maybe we will. But I think Julia Hart retains because she's been so good as TBS champion. I can't see Willow Nightingale winning it just to be a transition to dropping it to Mercedes at Double or Nothing. Because I have a feeling Willow and Mercedes are going to wrestle anyway at Double or Nothing. I don't think the title will be on the line. So, Tim, I like Julia Hart to keep it.
Yeah, I do too. Julia Hart has been like one of the shining points of AEW television. She's really like a really big breakout star. I've loved everything she's done with the House of Black. They did say on Dynamite tonight that the winner of this match is going to face Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing for the TBS championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's going to be Julia Hart going into that, but that's because I think Willow Nightingale is going to have her hands full, with somebody else who may be responsible for all these, lights out attacks and people getting, stomped out in the back. And, you know, you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And I think she may get a knife in the back on this night from her very own tag partner, Chris Statlander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met Chris Statlander in person. She's awesome. What do you think,
Andy? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Julia Hart's probably the best thing going in the women's division there right now. I think Timeless Tony... I do like the gimmick. I think it's a bit much at times, but I think Julia Hart has been like the complete package. Like Tim said, breakout star. I mean, the thing about Mercedes Moné now is this is like the mid card title for the women over there. I don't see her coming in and winning a mid card title. I see her going for the champion. I mean, for the women's title. So I think Julia's going to hold it for a while. I think she may not beat Mercedes Moné if she wins here, but you know she won't drop the belt to her. I think that's what I'm saying. I think you got to stick with the hot hand, and I think Willow winning the title it doesn't do much. I think for me in terms mm-hmm. of that, I think with all the attacks on Moné too, also like the last couple weeks. I think it's building towards that matchup, so I definitely think she's going to retain, and there's going to be some different, like, House of Black stuff going on here. That mm-hmm. that's not perpetrated by Julia. Maybe Sky Blue gets involved. Who knows?
Hmm. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be about time. Like, you know, Sokley Hathaway is the other person involved in this too, and he's been, you know, Chris was completely against him, but she's been warming up to him quite a bit. What I like about this kind of feud is that this has been going on for quite a while. Julia Hart, Willow Nightingale, Sky Blue, Statlander, Stokely being involved. This has been going on for like a few months at this point, kind of combinations of that. And then Mercedes coming in the last month or so to it as well. So it's one of the, like, I do like what they've been doing with the women's division. I feel like this is the best that it's ever been. Mm-hmm. Julia Hart, the thing that's hilarious about Julia Hart, and she is so young. She's only like 21, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So she was 19 when she started, and she was quite possibly the worst person on the roster. She was like, I'm a cheerleader. I mm-hmm. hang out with Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison, and we're the Varsity Blondes. And it was awful. She just stood in the corner and literally did nothing. She barely wrestled. And then, you know, they did something with her with training and put her at the House of Black. And she's really doesn't even exist that much with the House of Black itself anymore. She's more on her own. And then mm-hmm. she's been able to develop into this character, going from this the most generic cheerleader character ever to more fully functioning character. I do think she retains. I think Statlander is going to get involved. I think Mercedes is going to get involved. Stokely is going to have something to say about it. You know, where will he go? Like, what side will he be on? Stokely's hilarious. And it will just continue a storyline. I can see Mercedes and Willow tagging for a while. The TBS title thing about her winning it from Julia Hart, Mercedes, like, let's just see what happens first here. Because I hear what you're both saying about, it is a secondary belt.
Yeah, and I mean, I think of all of the, I have to say this, everyone says I slam Tony and I slam AEW a lot, but I'm going to say of all of the talent homegrown that has been made out of clay and has become an absolute star is Julia Hart. She's 22 uh-huh. fucking years old.
Yeah.
That's insane. And she's already a champion and a good one. It's insane. Insane. 22 years old and she's a TBS champion. Insane. Next up, we have a trios match. Our TNT champion, Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe, the ROH world champion, against the House of Black. Steve, I don't know what to make of this. I mean, I think it'll be a fun little brawl. I feel like the House of Black needs the win. I don't know.
Yeah, what do you think? Very much so.
Yep.
It's like the well-oiled machine. I always hated this in the WWE, like way back in the day, mm-hmm. where it would be like random tag team partners, and they would be better than the teams that already existed for a long time. Now, I like all three of these guys. I mean, I like five of the six of the people in this match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very pleased to see Mark Briscoe get spots on pay-per-views. I think the House of Black should win because they do need something. And I believe they need to keep putting Brody King over. I think he would be a great TNT champion. I think they might pin Adam Copeland and then move to Copeland versus Malachi Black for the next title. Next title feud there. So I think this is going to be more of a setup than anything. Maybe have Briscoe go against Brody King or Buddy Matthews at the next Ring of Honor show, whenever the hell that would be.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't like the combination of random people winning over a well-established trios unit. House of Black for me.
Okay. Andy?
I agree with you, Steve. I've never liked that. You see these makeshift teams beat these teams that have been tagging forever. You know, I've been hearing about like House of Black being unhappy there. I don't know what their contract status is, but in terms of this match, if they to going forward, the House of Black should be winning here. I mean, you could definitely see them all kind of pairing off. You know, Malakai Black, you know, continuing the feud with Copeland, you know, Eddie and Brody and Buddy mm-hmm. and Briscoe. I could definitely see that because they seem like pretty natural. Like they kind of line up nicely with the kind of matches. If you were to take three singles matches out of these six guys, those are probably the three I'd like to see. So I think House of Black should take it, and I think they mm-hmm. will take it.
Okay. Tim, I said you, right?
Haven't gotten to me yet, but I can make it short and sweet. I love Eddie Kingston. I love Mark Briscoe. I've loved Adam Copeland in the past, but Cope don't do it for me in AEW. House of Black for me, because the house always wins, and I want Brody King to smash Adam Copeland so bad for the TNT title.
It's a nope for Cope.
No, it's a nope for Cope, baby.
Nope for Cope. That would be a great t-shirt. All right, speaking of timeless Toni Storm, she defends her women's world title against the woman that she took it from in the interim basis many moons ago, Thunder Rosa. I don't like – I used to love Thunder Rosa when, of course, she was in the NWA. I don't love her as much now. I don't know if she's the one to dethrone timeless Toni. I don't think it happens here, Tim. So I think she keeps it.
Yeah, I don't think you get rid of timeless Toni Storm yet either. Definitely, I think Toni Storm is fitting of being the face of the women's division in AEW. Not to say Thunder Rosa is not equally credible, but I think that the package of Toni and Mariah and Luther, who would have thought in 2024 we'd be saying that Luther's doing anything positive on television
or anything on television, period.
Right. You know, notable Jericho crony, deathmatch legend Luther. Mm-hmm. I got the timeless one here picking up another victory, adding onto the cachet, because I think Tony's going to hold on that title until another former AEW women's champion mm-hmm. makes her return from injury as well. Right now, it's still Toni time.
That could be two people.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the good one. I'm not talking about the other one.
Steve, what do you got?
Toni Storm still is my favorite character in all of wrestling. She makes me laugh whenever I see her. She keeps kayfabe, you know, when she's doing guest spots at places. Thunder Rosa almost seems kind of thrown in here. It doesn't seem that, like, you know, she's a star, Thunder Rosa, but with all of her injuries and just kind of recently coming back, she's kind of been stuck on Collision more, only wrestled in a couple of matches. It makes sense for the two of them to go up against each other because of the title history. But Toni Storm's going to win this. I'm sure Mariah May will help her in some way, but it's going to be fun. And this is where I go back to saying, like, the women's division is so much better now than it used to be, where there's the two women's matches I'm actually looking forward to seeing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they threw a third one on the pre-show as well, like they did last time.
Hmm. Okay. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah. I think Timeless Toni's going to take it. I do really enjoy the gimmick. It's a ridiculous gimmick that she is, pardon the pun, all in on. Mm-hmm. And it's fun. I think they've gotten better with the production style on it. I think it was a little shaky for a bit. I don't think Thunder Rosa is the one to take it anyway. I agree with that she seemed like somebody they could put in there now. There is a built-in story. It's not a story that, you know, I really care all that much about, but it's, you gotta think maybe down the road, and, you know, there's going to be the inevitable split between Toni and Mariah May. So that could be something, whether Tony still has the belt at that time. And I mean, Mariah May is pretty much a natural heel. Tony can go either way. So, I think Tony, Timeless Tony, and she's going to, and she's still going to hold it for a bit, I think, after this.
Okay. Next up, another title match, the Continental title on the line. And it is Mr. Okada in his first pay-per-view match in AEW. Well, no, first pay-per-view match in AEW as an AEW employee, as he takes on Pac. This match will be fun. And I think, I don't think Okada drops the belt, two weeks after winning it. So no, Andy, I think Okada keeps it.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's going to be a really great match. I think if Ospreay Danielson's not on this card, this could be your match of the night. Pac is, you know, he's had a lot of starts and stops over his time over there, but he's definitely looking good. They had the six man on tonight, and but Okada's not losing this belt. He's not this quickly, not anytime soon, I don't think. You're not going to make this much fanfare of a guy this great who's going to, yeah. No, Pac is a journeyman. He goes in there, he gives you what he's got, and it's going to be a tremendous match, but Okada's taking it.
Mm-hmm. Steve?
Okay, ask me if this is a dream match.
Is it a dream match?
No, this is not a dream match. It will be a good match. And it gives something. This could be like a good opening match where Pac's going to bring it. I mean, Pac had that match at the first All Out pay-per-view with Kenny, where he upset Kenny. That match was incredible. Mm-hmm. There's no way he's upsetting Okada. I'm hoping it's not a... I don't think it's going to be like Young Bucks run-in type thing. I think Okada's going to pin him clean as a sheet. I hope it's just a good, solid New Japan-esque wrestling match that can stand out from everything else on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too, Tim.
I think they're going to beat the shit out of each other too.
Yeah, I think they're going to beat the shit out of each other too. I have a feeling Okada's going to enjoy the snugness of AEW. Hopefully it doesn't break his body down too fast. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Okada here. If they're going to make the Continental title the number two championship in all of AEW, as they were alluding to when he took the title off of Eddie Kingston, then you cannot have this title be flip-flopping. Mm-hmm. Okada will win pretty soundly here, but it's going to be a great match. You know, Pac is perennially a great match haver, and Okada's Okada, so Rainmaker up.
Yeah, I think he's going to win it too. But I thought this belt was the second best belt in the company, and that is the International Championship, as former Undisputed's battle, as the champ Roddy Strong takes on Kyle O'Reilly. I mean, for storyline purposes, I could see Kyle O'Reilly pulling off the win here. I'm not sure. This is another one that's kind of an up in the air for me, Tim. But I'm going to say, if you call it an upset, I think Kyle O'Reilly wins the title.
Yeah, I'm a big Cool Kyle supporter. Love Kyle O'Reilly. I'm so glad he's back. Most importantly, I'm glad he's healthy. Mm-hmm. And able to do what he loves to do. And if history tells us anything, best friends beat the shit out of each other. Yep. So Roddy and Kyle are going to beat the dog piss out of each other. I cannot wait. With all that said, Roddy Strong will retain the International Championship in light of Kyle O'Reilly's heroes welcome back to All Elite Wrestling.
Hmm. Okay, Andy,
I would love to see Kyle O'Reilly win here. I've always liked him, you know, since, you know, his days in NXT, and I'm really happy he's back, because he's a guy I think that, you know, the injury was so unfortunate in his health, but I think Roddy's going to win it. I don't think he's going to win it. I don't think he's going to win clean. I think there's going to be some interference from his cronies there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but I mean, they could have a rematch down the line. So I think that this may be not the first in the series, but I think this still had, there's going to be more after this between these two. I don't think this is a one and done. Mm.
Steve.
Yeah, I completely agree with Andy. They're going to have massive amounts of interference to cost Kyle. Kyle's going to need to find some friends in order to help him. But yeah, I think this isn't one and done. They really haven't flip-flopped this belt too much, the exception being just due to injuries. But that was a fluke.
Right.
So they've been pretty much sticking with people, you know, for quite a long time. And Roddy Afeel is just getting started, and they're starting to move away from Cole, even where Roddy's becoming more of the leader of the group, and you're not seeing Cole show up as much on Dynamite or Collision. I would think he would for the pay-per-view, but I really like this. I love, you know, Roddy and O'Reilly together is just so much fun. And I hope they don't bring Bobby Fish back, to be honest. But this,
that'd be so cliche.
It would be so cliche, and he hasn't been good for a few years. Whereas, as long as he's healthy, and I agree with you, Tim. I don't want to see him get hurt. I hope his neck is okay. Just chop and kick the crap out of each other. Mm-hmm.
And finally, our main event, which I feel is almost lost in the shuffle here. Samoa Joe defends the AEW World title against Swerve Strickland. Andy, I'll start with you. I don't want to, everyone seems to think it's a foregone conclusion Swerve's winning here. Is it though? I don't know.
I mean, I think he's going to win. I'm not saying it's foregone, but I think it's his time. He has, again, another guy. When we talked about Mustafa Ali, however you pronounce it, a guy that, you know, leaves WWE and really comes into his own, becomes better in all aspects, character, in-ring, everything. And yeah, I think he's going to take it. Joe is great, but Joe has been around for a long time. He's had a lot of belts, a lot of titles. Let's give Swerve the ball. Let's see how Swerve can lead this company as its champion. And because he's really been great. He's really been killing it. That feud he had with Hangman, I didn't love it at all. But here, I think, yeah, I think he's taking it. And it's not that it's a foregone conclusion. I think it's the right conclusion for moving forward from here. We talk about WWE having, you know, a new time period, a new era. You know, it's time for the era of Swerve over in AEW.
Okay. Tim?
I will need to start my handwritten letter campaign to everyone in my neighborhood that if they have any children that they could line up, because if Swerve does not win, I may go on a baby punching tangent. Swerve is literally like the hottest dude in the company. Mm-hmm. Like, I love and respect everything that Samoa Joe has done with the world championship. He is a believable person to take that title off of MJF and to give it more prestige. But it is Swerve's time. And I fear for Swerve's overness that if you cut the legs out from him again, how long will the fans stay on the ride with Swerve? Pay it off one-on-one, no questions asked. Swerve up, riding into Double or Nothing and the road to All In, All Out weekend.
Yeah, I completely agree. that I think the not putting the belt on him, you know, at the three-way was to give it to him, you know, in a one-on-one match, so there was no mistaking what they're doing. I think he's been the face of the show until, like, Ospreay came along, and now there's two faces of the show. He's been – everything he does, there's a reason for it. Mm-hmm. Everything. He takes so much care. The fact that WWE didn't know what to do with him, I think he just wasn't even on the radar at the time. I think he was, you know, like 205 Live and stuff like that. I don't even think they knew he existed, because why would Vince watch that? You know, even Lucha Underground, like, they just did some stuff with him. Any independent could have had run, TNA could have had, like, he's just too good. And you realized it right away when he came in and started, like, being able to, like, bring rap artists on that he knew. And, you know, even, like, they threw, like, the Mogul Embassy with him, which was really stupid because he didn't need it. And then once they just kind of put him on his own with Nana, it's just excellent. Like, one of, you know, like, him, Tony, and Ospreay right now are just carrying the show, in my opinion. It's time to put the strap on him. He passed the Today Show test. You know, you can put him on the morning news shows and have him draw people in. You can throw him on TNT like they did with Mercedes Moné during the NBA playoffs. He can, and he'll look credible there. Yeah, I think it's time. Joe's great. Joe's been having a blast. I think that he's been an anchor of the show the last few months to kind of steady the ship throughout some chaos. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and he's not even really been a transition champion. He's been a champion for quite a bit now. You know, yeah. MJF went down. He beat him, like, very clearly. He's been the champ for a few months. And my question is, is this the guy? Is it going to be Swerve against Ospreay at All In? Is that the match that's going to happen? Then that would be amazing.
Hmm. Yeah, I think so too. So guys, there is your previews of the two big shows this weekend, AEW Dynasty Sunday night in St. Louis and TNA Rebellion on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Guys, thank you very much. This has been a pleasure for this episode of Main Event. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Will we be past, or let me do the math here, because I usually suck at that. Let's see, 19, 20. Oh, okay. So our next show, we will actually be previewing Backlash in France, because it'll be that. So the next episode will be on Friday, May 3rd. So it'll be the night of. We actually could probably preview. We'll probably preview another TNA show. So even though it'll be that night, so we'll probably preview TNA Under Siege, which will be that night, Friday night, May 3rd, and then the next day, May 4th, will be Backlash from France. So we will we'll do a preview of that as well. So more previews to come on our next episode. Mr. Atherton, thank you for joining me. It is Thanks always a pleasure. You can find Andy over. He calls the shots on that quad over there. I'm pointing out my penthouse window to that quad, the PTB Pop Experience. You can catch all of our great non-wrestling stuff over there, music, the jukebox, all the other great shows over there. Mr. Taylor, thank you. You have an amazing Funko collection. Don't throw any of them if Swerve loses. And, of course, you could see Tim over on that building over on the other side of the quad, the No-So. He keeps all those egos in line. No, I'm only kidding. They don't have egos.
He's the guy in the chair of No-So.
Exactly, yes. He keeps all the narcissists. No, I'm only kidding. There aren't any. I'm only kidding. I love it. You know that. No, they do a great job over there, and you, Tim, of course, do a great job. All the great shows over on the No-So from around the horn. And Steve. Well, you're Steve. So
I'm Steve.
You're Steve. Guys, it is a pleasure. Tim, I want you back on. What do you have coming up, Tim? I don't get to pimp your stuff. What do you have coming up? Anything you want to promote?
Oh, God. I will promote, you know, you can catch me regularly as a contributor over on No Holds Barred, keeping JT and Aaron at bay during their ultimate build a card episodes.
Oh yeah.
But between all of that, you know, if you see any of those cool graphics for any of the shows, there's a good chance I probably did one of them. And then outside of the network, outside of the quad of pods, myself and the co-host of WWE War, Marcus, have a weekly show called Final Wrestling Place. You can find that on any podcatcher of your choice, but and on YouTube as well. Not video, but you know, all podcasts have to go on YouTube now. So Marcus and I every week chop it up about the good things and bad things in the world of wrestling, and we don't necessarily talk about current stuff, but we do, and we bip bop around. We'd love to have you guys give that a listen as well.
Okay. And Steve, you're Steve.
Yeah, I'm Steve.
Everybody, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the shows. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with the next episode where we'll preview another TNA show, Under Siege, as well as Backlash. For Brother Andy and Brother Tim, I don't get to say that a lot. I'm Brother Scott. You have been in the Vein Event. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.